Chapter 4 Rescue. Mr. Glennie told me later what happened. At first, I didn't come to school, and he thought my aunt was ill. Whenever Aunt Jane was ill, I usually stayed home to help her. But on the second day, when I didn't appear in school, he asked the other children about me. "Is John ill, or is his aunt ill again?" he asked. Nobody knew. "I'll go to their house after school and see if they need any help," Mr. Glennie decided. During the break, Mr. Glennie heard Bobby Farrell talking loudly. Bobby liked to impress the other children, especially the girls. "It's the truth," Bobby was saying. "I heard sounds when I was passing the graveyard, but there was nobody there." "Was it at night?" asked one of the girls. "No. It was this morning on my way to school," Bobby said. "Maybe Blackbeard was trying to get out of his coffin." Mr. Glennie was angry. "Bobby's trying to frighten the other children," he thought. "I must stop him." "Come on, children," he said quickly. "It's time to continue our lessons." After school, Mr. Glennie went to our house and knocked on the door. Aunt Jane opened it. "Good day, Miss Abington," he said politely. "I see you're well. John wasn't at school yesterday and today. Is he ill?"
"I don't know if he's ill or well," Aunt Jane replied in a cold voice. "The boy isn't here. He left 2 days ago without saying a word."
Mr. Glennie was surprised. Aunt Jane didn't seem to be worried about me at all, but he was starting to get very worried.
"He's an ungrateful boy," she continued, "and a dreamer. He's probably looking for a ship to take him to America."
"I don't think so," said Mr. Glennie. "Good day, Miss Abington." Then he hurried to the Why Not to speak to Elzevir.
"I'm very worried, Elzevir," he said. "John Trenchard left home 2 days ago, and his aunt doesn't know where he is."
"Perhaps the children at school know something," suggested Elzevir.
"No, I asked them. They don't know anything," answered Mr. Glennie.
"And Bobby Farrell is frightening them with stories about noises in the graveyard." Elzevir understood the truth at once, and his face became very white. "Come, my friend," he said to Mr. Glennie. "We must get Ratsy and go to the church quickly. Maybe John is stuck in the crypt." Then he told Mr. Glennie a story.
"Do you remember Tommy Brown?" he said. "He saw us in the graveyard one night and followed us into the crypt. He hid somewhere and we didn't see him. When we left, we closed the gravestone and he couldn't get out. He was there for a long time without food or water, and finally he died inside the grave."
Mr. Glennie was shocked and confused.
"But I found his body in the graveyard," he said. "He wasn't inside a crypt."
"We put him there," said Elzevir. "We moved him away from the crypt, but couldn't hide his death from his family."
"Hurry, hurry," said Mr. Glennie desperately. "If John is in the crypt, we must rescue him quickly before it's too late. It's been 2 days already without food or water. I hope he's still alive."
The three men ran to the graveyard and quickly moved the stone. Elzevir jumped into the hole and saw me immediately.
"The boy is here," he shouted. "He's unconscious, but he's breathing."
"Thank God," said Mr. Glennie. "He's still alive." They lifted me out and carried me to the Why Not. I woke up in a strange room, and Elzevir was standing beside me. When I saw him, I was terrified. "I'm a danger to him and the other smugglers," I thought. "I know their secret." It was hard for me to speak, but I was desperate.
"Please, Elzevir, don't kill me," I said weakly. "I'll never tell anybody about the crypt."
"Hush, boy," he said. "Nobody will hurt you. Lie quietly now, and I'll bring you some soup."
I lay in bed at the Why Not for 2 weeks. Elsevier looked after me like a father, and each day I grew a little stronger. Mr. Glennie went to visit Aunt Jane again. John is at the inn, he told her. He had an accident, but he's getting better. If the boy prefers the inn to his home, let him stay there, she said angrily. I don't want him here. Good day, Mr. Glennie. A few days later, Elsevier told me about Mr. Glennie's visit. In a soft voice, he said, John, your aunt thinks you don't love her, and she doesn't want you in her house anymore. He waited a moment, then said, You'll live here with me now, John, and you'll be like a son to me. For a moment I felt sad, but deep in my heart I was happy. The Why Not seemed more like a home to me than Aunt Jane's house. Thank you, Elsevier, I said gratefully. I'll be happy to live with you. Elsevier smiled. He didn't look fierce at all. I now knew that he was a very kind man, and gradually a deep love grew between us. While I was lying in bed, I thought about my aunt and the years I lived with her. She didn't love me, but she was good to me, I thought. When I felt strong enough, I went to Aunt Jane's house to get my few possessions. She was polite, but spoke very little. As I was leaving, she said, I will pray for you, John. Then she gave me a small Bible and added, This belonged to your mother. It is yours now. It was the last time I saw her. To be honest, I didn't read the Bible much. But later, my mother's little Bible helped me in a very unexpected way.